All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jordan, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm a pastoral intern here at Kanata Baptist Church. When I'm not doing my studies online for my Master's of Divinity, I'm here doing an internship with Pastor Bob and the pastoral team. I'm getting my butt kicked in Bible quizzing. That's part of the job description. But I just finished my last exam on Friday. Yeah, that's good. And I got an 82 on Hebrew, yes, on Hebrew. So that was fun. I still have another year of internships to do in a church, and so Pastor Bob and the governing council, we're in discussions about what the future holds for me. So I would greatly appreciate you to keep me in your prayers as we figure out what's next, because this is the next step of the journey, and it's going to be good. So keep me in your prayers. So as you know, today is Palm Sunday, and I feel like I'm kind of crashing the party a little bit. I'm sorry. There's some things that I'm going to say today. This Holy Week is now, but it's not a very good week for Jesus. We're kind of in the week before Easter. It's not Easter yet. We need to go through Holy Week, and we need to go to Maundy Thursday before we can get to the resurrection. And so that's what we're going to look at today in Luke chapter 19. So I don't know about you, but I love Sundays. Sundays are my favorite part of the week. I get to reset. I get to start off a new week on Sunday. I have a routine. I wake up. Most Sundays I wake up. up to now, I've woke up on Sunday. And I like to go to church, and I like to spend time with family and friends, and I like to meal prep for the week, because recently I've moved to Kanata, and I'm living on my own. Well, I have some housemates that I've known for a long time, but I like to make lots of meals that I get to eat for the rest of the week. Sometimes I take a Sunday afternoon nap. I don't know if you've done that. It's a dangerous game to play. If it turns into too long a nap, then Monday is ruined. So be careful with your Sunday afternoon naps. But things in a week, well, week can start out really great. Sunday can be awesome. It can be a really great start to your week, but things can get ruined pretty quickly in your week. Things can go downhill pretty fast. Maybe you get a phone call midway through the week and something completely unexpected happens to you and it changes your life. Someone cuts you off in traffic. That changes your life. There's so many things that can happen. Maybe all the food you prepped is gone by Wednesday because you ate it all. That happens to me sometimes. But things change really quickly in your week. And I think with Palm Sunday, that's what's happening with the triumphal entry. There's this great moment. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. People have their clothes out on the ground. They don't even want his feet to touch the floor. There's palm fronds all around. People are saying, "Glory in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna." And the people who are calling him Savior on Sunday are calling to crucify him by Friday. They're going to kill Jesus at the end of this week, and things are going to get bad. Peter is going to deny that he ever knew Jesus. All his disciples are going to leave him. And the religious and political leaders are going to plot and successfully kill the king. So Palm Sunday makes it look like it's going to be a really great week, but by the end of the week, they're going to kill the royal king. The title for today's sermon is "What Brings You Peace?" And so this is taken from the lament that we heard, where Jesus cries over Jerusalem. And he says, "If only you had known this day, what brings you peace?" And so I believe that anyone who wants to find true inner peace, what they need to do is they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and teacher and follow his commandments. So in Luke 19, we're going to see how a bunch of different people receive Jesus. So leading up to Easter, though, at KBC, we've been going through a series on Jonah. And we've looked at how Jonah is this prophet who's called by God. Pastor Doug and Bob have been leading us, and Stephen and Adam, they all preached on Jonah and how Jonah went to the Ninevites and they listened to the word of God and they repented. And the reason we've been going through Jonah is because Jonah is preparing us for Jesus. So in Jonah, the word of God comes to the Ninevites, and the Ninevites receive this word and they all repent and they're forgiven. And it's, but as Doug said, Jonah kind of ends on a cliffhanger. Jonah doesn't seem like a very happy guy. He's like cursing God by the end of it. He's like, "I wish I were dead." Like, he's very dramatic. But something very similar is happening here in the Gospel of Luke, because the word of God is coming to another major city. Jesus himself, the word of God himself, is coming to Jerusalem. And how are the people going to receive him? That's the question that we're dealing with. How are the religious institutions going to receive Jesus? How are the political institutions going to receive Jesus? And how is the everyday person, the average person, going to receive Jesus? Will they receive him as their Messiah, as their Lord? Are they going to make him king, walk him right into the temple? Or are they going to reject him? So before we get to the triumphal entry, we need to do like with the quizzers and kind of know the whole chapter. We need to look back and get a little more context on Luke 19 because Luke is telling a story, and he's telling us exactly what we need to know in order to understand what is going on with the triumphal entry. And Luke 19 begins with Zacchaeus. Does anyone remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector, a man who's vertically challenged? And he wants to see Jesus, so he climbs a sycamore tree, and then Jesus comes up to him and says, Zacchaeus, we're having dinner at your house. That's a good way to invite yourself over to someone's house. I might need to start doing that if people don't invite me over to their house for supper. I'm just putting that out there. So there's the story of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, just from meeting Jesus, just from Jesus' words and his presence, Zacchaeus says, everyone I've ever wronged, everyone I've ever scammed or cheated, I will give it back fourfold. I'll pay everyone back. And Jesus says, surely today salvation has come to this man's house, and he too is a son of Abraham. From there, they're walking towards Jerusalem, and as they're going along the road, some of the disciples are getting really excited. They're like, the kingdom is going to happen. It's happening. The kingdom's going to be here right now. It's going to happen now. And Jesus says, oh, hold on, guys, you might have the wrong kingdom in mind. Jesus knew they had the wrong kingdom in mind, so he told them a parable about the 10 minas. This is a parable where a man is going away in order to get kingship in a distant country. So he leaves his servants, 10 servants, with 10 minas. And a mina is like a year's salary. You got a whole salary given to you. And he says, put this money to work until I come back. So the king comes back and he rewards the servants based on how well they use their money. The person who doubled their money was given charge of 10 cities to rule over. Another person was given 5 cities to rule over. But someone who just buried their money and didn't do anything with it had their money taken away from them. And it was given to someone else. And the king became very, very angry with them. Now, you might be just as confused as the disciples were on hearing this parable. What does this have to do with the kingdom coming? What does this have to do with going to Jerusalem, Jesus? And I think Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going away to receive his kingship, and he is going to leave them behind to be stewards of something. And only after these two stories do we get the triumphal entry. Go ahead to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say the Lord needs it. You might be thinking, is Jesus committing grand theft donkey? Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. And he's not committing grand theft donkey. Jesus is proving his words to his disciples. Things will be exactly as you find them. The words that I say will come to pass. And Luke also knows about a certain prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. See, your king comes to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Jesus is riding on a donkey because he is the royal king of Jerusalem. Jesus doesn't come into a city like the Romans do. Roman leaders come in riding a muscular war horse. They show off all their riches and all their power, and they love receiving the awe, the ovations where everyone's clapping for them, the awe of the people. And Jesus comes in lowly on a donkey and having salvation. And the donkey is very important because the donkey is the Honda Civic of the ancient world. The donkey can get you from point A to point B. It can do basic farming tasks. It's not like an ox or a cattle. It'll do the farming tasks. But Jesus doesn't come riding on the Mustang. He comes riding on the donkey because he's a humble God. He's the humble king, and he shows his true humility. And as Jesus enters Jerusalem, how do the people receive him? All the people are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Bless, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Things seem to be going really well. Wow, this Sunday is awesome. This week's off to a great start. They're receiving him as king. The people are accepting him. They're praising and worshiping God in the streets. But after the triumphal entry, it is all downhill from here. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, some of the Pharisees in the crowd shout, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus responds, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." The religious leaders told Jesus to silence the praise of the royal king. When the word of God came to the religious leaders, they didn't change their ways like the Ninevites did. They didn't receive Jesus the way that Zacchaeus did at the beginning of Luke. They tried to shut up the disciples, and they tried to take glory away from Jesus. And I don't think that the Zechariah, of course, Zechariah, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Yes, it's there. They said it was going to happen. It happened. But it is also a rebuke of the religious leaders. It's also a rebuke of the religious leaders. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, behold your king. He's coming to you lowly and riding on a donkey, and you're going to kill him." In the rest of Luke, after Jesus' triumphal entry, he laments over the city because they didn't know the time of their visitation. And we find at the end of Luke, in chapter 19, at the very end, he cleanses the temple. They were not very good stewards of the things that God had given them, and he had to come and redeem his father's house. And in that lament, he says, "If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace." And that's the title of the sermon. What brings you peace? So Jesus weeps for the people. And I think in that we see a picture of the heart of God, because so many of us, I think, crave a deep inner peace. We want to be at ease within ourselves. We want to be in right relationship with others. We want to be in right relationship with God. We think we know ourselves best. I know what I need to get peace. I just need to graduate. That would be nice. I just need to get into that next good school. I need to get that next job. I need to get my pension. I need to get another car, something better than a Honda Civic. Once I have that thing, then I'll have peace. Now, these are all good things, but are they what bring inner peace? St. Augustine says that our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And we were made for God, and only God can bring peace to our restless hearts. But a problem is, many of us don't trust that true peace is found in following Jesus. In our culture, many people don't think Jesus was a very smart man, or that he has anything meaningful to say to us today. The majority of people in our culture actually reject Jesus and don't take his words into their life. So I ask you, how do you receive Jesus and his teachings? The best way to receive Jesus and his words is to see them as the best opportunity that you have ever been given. Like Zacchaeus, we need to forget all the ways that we've done things, all the things that we thought were right before, and to look at him and say, that's the best opportunity that I could possibly be given. His words, his teachings, that's the best way of life, and I'm going to follow what he says to do. Because it is hypocrisy of the worst kind to call Jesus Christ your Lord and your King and your teacher, but you do not do what he commands you. So we need to look at Jesus' teachings, because we are people who look at Jesus and say, we want to receive him. We want to do what he says. And we need to look at our lives, and we need to look at his teachings, and we need to match them up. So we need to ask ourselves, is it really better to love your enemies? Do I love my enemies? Is it really better to pray for the people who hurt you? Can I even do that? Can I pray for someone if they hurt me? Is laying down my life actually a good thing? Is washing someone's feet or being generous or praying or fasting or doing the things that Jesus says to do actually a better way of living, or is what I'm doing the better way of living? So as Christians, we start off our week great. We come to church. Yeah. We hear these heartwarming sermons that I just love to make everyone feel warm with on a Sunday morning. And we try to follow Jesus' teachings the best we can, but throughout the week, things start to happen. Other ideas, other habits, other ways of thinking come into our life, and we start to, the week starts to get ruined. So a theologian named Jesse Nichol wrote, "Jesus is truly Lord, and therefore is owed my allegiance. Jesus' words are words of eternal life, and therefore he is owed my obedience. Jesus is the author and perfecter of my faith, and everything else in my life must be secondary to that. Jesus gets the final say." So Christianity is not about living in angst and worry and all this chasing after things that we can't quite get. It is about loving God, following Jesus, and seeking after his kingdom. It's about receiving the unconditional love that comes from God, and God is the only source of love. It all comes from Him. And it's by that love that we're changed and transformed so that we can share that love with all the people we meet. People at our jobs, people in our church, that's the first place to do it. You learn to love people here. And all the other people who come into your path, those are the people that we share the love of God with. So it's in following Christ in this way that true peace, true inner peace is found. So in John 15:35, Jesus says, "By this they will know that you are my disciples. By your big church buildings and your rich church history, no. By how you argue and your awesome political views, no. By this they will know you are my disciples, by how you love one another." So we need to be rooted and grounded in God's love, and we are going to be the ones who bring God's love to all the people who are around us. So in Luke 19, Zacchaeus shows us how to receive Jesus. We must put his words and his presence as the most important thing in our life. The parable of the 10 minas shows us that the world is pretty clueless when it comes to what Jesus is doing and what his kingdom is all about. And Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, and we get to see all the different ways that people can receive Jesus. The political leaders want to protect their institutions. The religious leaders try to shut them down because that's an attack on what they've built up. They don't want to turn anything in their life over to Jesus. The everyday person was chanting Hosanna on Sunday, but by Friday, they are chanting Crucify Him. So how will you receive Jesus and his teachings? So I told you after Palm Sunday, it's all downhill from here. But Easter is coming. Okay, it is coming. It's a good thing. We need to go through Holy Week. But Easter is an opportunity to bring our attention back to Jesus. It reminds us that we have a decision to make. Are we going to keep following Jesus even when things get bad, even when the week goes bad? Are we going to keep deciding to follow Jesus? Or even if it means following him to a cross? How will you receive Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I pray in the whirlwind of words that I have said, that something of you was spoken, something good, something helpful. I pray that we consider how we receive you, Jesus. I pray you help us to make space in our hearts and in our minds for you, God. I pray you continue to teach us to do all the things that you have commanded us. And I ask that you help us to be excellent stewards of all that you've given us. Remind us today that you are good, and that only in you will we find true and lasting peace. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.